Well, we just invite you, Holy Spirit. This is your night. We don't want another night. We want an encounter. We want a powerful encounter with you. We just want to be here with you, Holy Spirit. We just want to go deeper. That's the cry of our hearts, is to go deeper. So as I said, I want to invite you guys into something tonight. I want to do something. I'm not really sure what God's going to do with it. But I had this vision a few weeks ago. And I was like, wow, I can't wait to share this. I've been kind of bubbling over this for 2 weeks. And the thing is, you guys are a prophetic house. And the problem with a prophetic house is you can hear another word and go, that's just another prophetic word. That's just another prophetic word. So I want to somehow invite you guys into this so you guys know this is for you. This is, I'm not just not talking to a building. I'm not talking to Catherine and Tom. I'm talking to you guys tonight. And I feel like this word's going to stir something up in you. I feel like there's something that's going to, you're going to feel this awakening in you. And, you know, even there's going to be things I don't say, but the Holy Spirit's going to say to you and give you revelation. Yeah, that's me, that's me. Because what I felt like that Rebecca was prophesying tonight, I'm like, she is so on the money that there's people right now that have been awakening to their calling. There's people that you've been through a time in a season of your life. You felt like you've been on the sidelines and derailed and a lot of disappointments and hurts that come to your life. I feel like tonight there's an awakening that's coming. There's a fresh breath of the Holy Ghost breathing upon you, and you're going to step into something that you didn't expect that you would, or even that you've laid down, and you think, you know what, I have not expected that God would bring me back into that. Tonight is that night. You're going to be awoken again to the powerful calling that God has you to. So you guys ready? I'm prophesying over this house to the church. That's you, okay? So just don't get that confused, all right? And Atlanta, if you're watching as well, this is for you as well. This is the vision. So I saw a building, and it was this building here, and it was being raised up into the sky. And, you know, when I came, we've been a part of this church now since, like, maybe February, March. And when we first came, I said to Christy, this is like an eagle's nest. Because it's like that. It's like a place where eagles land and then take off. I'm like, this is an eagle's nest. But in this vision, it was so clear. I saw this building being raised up into the sky overlooking Brisbane. And it grew and expanded, and it went up into the sky. And the thing I noticed about it was that there was no walls. It was just like it was open. And I could see the glory of God just leaking down into the city. It was like a shining light that was like a river at the same time. And so the scripture that came to me was Isaiah 60 verse 3. The nations will come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. And I feel like that what God's doing in this house at the moment, I'm going to prophesy each individual aspect of what I saw, but I feel like the greater glory, like it speaks in Haggai, that the greater glory is coming to this house. And I want to share about what I feel like that is. Okay, so it turned into a rocket launching station on the top. And so Eagle's Nest, it turned into a rocket launching station. And I said, Lord, what does that mean? The Lord said, the glorious city is in preparation right now for increase and greater glory, not just a place of healing, encounter, but it's going to be an equipping and launching center. And so I feel like that there's many aspects of that I want to break down, and it does kind of get, I want to break down each aspect of what I saw. I saw rocketeers, and they are the astronauts that are pioneers that go where no one else has gone before. And so there's anointing on this house for pioneering and forerunning. You already know that. That's going to go to another level. I really feel like that there's people in this house that even coming in here, you might have come from another church or another place and you felt like, I haven't fit there. I haven't fit here. I'm not really sure what's going on, but God's led me here. And I'm going to tell you why you're being led here. It's because you have that pioneer spirit upon you. There's a mantle upon your life that you carry something different, and you've been trying to find a place to fit. But God's saying that there's sometimes a time and a season of in a place of stewing in something, stewarding something that God's doing in you. But I feel like what God's doing right now, he's calling the forerunners and the pioneers this place, because you are the astronauts. You're the ones that are going to be launched. I feel like there's going to be nations and places that you claim and that you go to. So you need to kind of hold these people loosely, because they're going to go. Going to come in, train, equip, go. And there's an anointing to recognize and to be able to see who these people are, not see their rough edges, but recognize that they carry something different that maybe is a little bit outside of the box, but they carry something the body of Christ needs to break them in. You know, sometimes Sometimes you need a wrecking ball. Sometimes you need people that are a little bit rough and they challenge the things that you feel like are concrete. No, that's God. That's God. That's all God is. That's him here. And these people coming in, no, hang on a second. I've kind of got like, there's something that God's shown me. And I'm like, well, that's not God. And these people will come and they're like these reformers that they'll come and they'll seem to break a lot of boxes, but the glory of God will, there'll be an undeniable thing about them. Like, wow, these guys carry the glory. And God will use them powerfully to get the church and the body of Christ out of a stagnant place and to be a flowing stream again. And so I feel like these people is they're going to create these pathways and highways that we haven't seen yet. And there's people even in this place, and you've maybe identified with the area of being a misfit or an outcast. And I feel like the Lord's saying he calls you an outcast no longer. Like that scripture, I haven't got it right now, but he calls you an outcast no longer. And if this is your family, I just know that there's a place for you here. And so there's the Rocketeers, and I feel like there's a nurturing here. There's a mothering, and there's something here that is so unique in that it's a safe place and environment for people to step into that place and know that they're safe in growing. That when they mess up and they stuff up, they're not going to be judged for it. There's a nurturing and there's a fathering in this place and a protection that they can grow and be who they're called to be without being kicked out for it or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? And so if you are one of those and you identify with that tonight, I just want to speak over you. It's time. It's time. God accepts you. He affirms you. He accepts you and he affirms you. And it's a painful process when you've felt like that you've always been on the fringe. You always felt a bit different. And I felt the Lord saying, no, you're not on the fringe. You're just being prepared for something that's a little bit different. And you there in the beard on the front here, I feel like there's something upon your life. Just stand up for a minute. I just want to pray for him just from here. I feel like you carry a reformation anointing upon your life. I'm going to pray this over you. There's a reformation anointing upon your life. And I just feel like that's coming into it. It's coming, going to come into a new, I feel like that even the language you get from the Lord, that the things that you get, the revelation you get, you're like, I don't know how that, you know, no one's going to really value that. No one's going to really get that or understand that. But I feel like God's kind of like, he's maturing this message in you right now, because there's a whole lot of fringe dwelling people that are outside the church that you have a heart for. And God, you've just been going, how does it fit? How does it work that I do this, but I also do that? And the Lord's saying it is the both, but I'm giving you a language and I'm actually creating this pathway through you. So embrace what I'm doing in you. And I just feel like that God's just showing you more and more how you're meant to walk in that. And it's going to be the Holy Spirit in a lot of it, but this is a safe place that you can grow in that. So Father, I thank you, Lord, for the reformation anointing upon this man of God. I thank you, Father, for the many souls that are going to come into the kingdom. I just see that prophetic evangelism anointing that you walk and step into. I even see that there's so many different things. You're a mixed bag of goodies, brother. And I just see that pastoral anointing upon you as well. There's just so many things that God uses you in. You're like over here, you step into a gifting, and over there, you step into it. But I felt the Lord saying in this season, he's honing and he's defining what this looks like so that you can walk and step into that. And you give me a godly confidence. You're not going to feel like there's judgment or fear in it. You're going to walk into it with confidence. And I feel like the Lord's just saying, he affirms you today. You're going to step into it this year in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And so there's many of these people that I call the refitters. They're the refitters because they come and they refit the church. And I'm not going to make that my message now, but just get ready, Glory City, because, I mean, I'm sure Catherine already knows this is a wild bunch here. There's a raw bunch of people. There are a wild bunch of worshipers in this place. And I feel like that's what God's calling this place to. Sometimes it can look like a crazy barnyard in a place where revival is. Just like Paul says, you know, where there's... What's that scripture I just shared it the other day? Where there is oxen, there is increase. Okay, so you kind of got to get a bit messy to see and experience revival, because if you want increase, you're going to have to allow the ox in at the same time. So the next thing is this. I hear the Lord saying, the visionaries are arriving. The visionaries. Whoa. They're the mission control center. Mission control center. They're the hub. They're the ones that create, I don't know how to explain it, but they see how things connect in terms of operationally. And there's a governmental thing that they can see. And I feel like that they're the ones that sit in mission control, and they're the ones guiding and leading. They're the ones that are the mothers and the fathers, the generals that say, yeah, and you know what, there's many fallen generals. Even in this place, I feel like if you've kind of laid down your mantle and you've been through a lot of disappointment as a mother or father, a spiritual mum and dad, maybe you're an old pastor, I feel like God's reinstating you because the sons and daughters need you in this season. They need you. So I call you forth tonight. This is your prophetic word. Step up into your mantle again. Step up into that. There's a new vision God is giving you because you're a visionary. You're going to see things. And I feel like that's what it is. You're going to see beyond where the church is, right? You're going to see beyond. You're going to have eyes to see. So you see how things connect in that way. Now I want to speak to the engineers. The engineers create infrastructure to go beyond the current place. They're the actual ones that know how things connect. And I've been seeing this for a while now. I even shared it with Catherine a while ago that I believe there's people being drawn to this place because they know how to get things done. They know how to connect things. And this is the way I described it when I wrote it. They see the faults, the areas in the system, but they also know how to work with it, to revive it and build upon it. It will come first as blueprints, ideas, and unusual strategies that when implemented will create a platform or vacuum for God to fill. I see an influx of workers for the harvest flooding in the doors, each with different and needed anointings and giftings, and there'll be a grace to understand and discern how the puzzle pieces fit, how this anointing flows with this one, and how this gifting flows with this one. There's going to be this whole kind of wisdom and understanding, revelation knowledge of knowing how things connect. And that's kind of, you know, sometimes when you're in a house of revival like this, there are people coming from so many different streams and ways, but God is the one that knows how to connect it all together. He knows how to take you from this background and this thing over here, and you have this heart for this. He knows how to make it connect. It doesn't mean you have to come in and go, oh, this isn't a place for me. No one values me. God's going to make you connect if your heart is there and you say, God, here I am. Use me. And I feel like that's what God's doing in this house right now. So the engineers, I call you forward. You're the ones that sometimes you look like you're behind the scenes, but I'm telling you, without you, things do not connect. I remember when I was a worship pastor, oh my gosh, I love sound. I love sound guys, and I equally, there's been some hard seasons I've had to allow the Lord to, heal my heart. I was the worst sound man in our first church. I was the sound man and the worship leader. So there's maybe some hurt there I need to deal with. But sometimes there's these people that set things up for us, like right now. You wouldn't hear me if there wasn't someone down there doing this. And I'm not trying to say these people are behind the scenes people. I'm merely saying these are the connectors. They're the ones that know how to make things work. And I feel like God's calling them in right now. There's people, even in the area of the video and TV, God's calling them in right now. There are people that will be raised up in that in a powerful way. Now, I want to speak to the justice carriers in the house. And I know that this is a house of justice. I heard a shofar blasting. And that's what I heard. That's all I heard. And I said, Lord, I know that's for Glory City, but what are you showing me? And he said, "There's this shofar is being blasted from the justice carriers and intercessors in this house. It's a call to assemble, a call to pray, a call to watch, but it's a call to war." Well, I feel some anointing on that. Like there's a call to war. There's a real call to war. And I feel like some people are really stepping into that place of war right now. I mean, I'm married to, and I should introduce my beautiful wife, Christy. And, you know, who's here tonight. And there's something that I've learned from her. And I don't think I ever really had a heart of justice. I didn't like things going on, but I'd just be like, oh, let's turn the news off. You know, that's enough. You know, turn the news off. But she would war and travail over this stuff. Like I'm talking, wake up in the middle of the Holy Spirit, like groaning in the spirit, weeping and wailing. I'm going, what is going on? Who am I married to? Is it like, you know, I've no idea who I'm married to, but God was, it was like there was this conception of a justice anointing. And I feel like that in this place, there are justice carriers that are rising, not just to go, okay, thank you, Jesus. Help this over here, help that over there. They're going to be people that will war and travail, not in the old way that we've seen in a session, not in the old way of going, I'm going to like be a miserable sob in my corner, but I'm going to, with joy and with authority, step into a place of seeing something change. And so many areas and laws like Rebecca shared tonight, the Family Act, so many of those things are subject to us. And I feel like this house is going to be a powerful face in the area of injustice. And I love Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. I feel like there's a greater governmental anointing influence also as well, like connections and networks. That's going to take place. I'm trying to get through this because I actually have a message as well tonight. Worshippers and creatives, you're birthing a new sound. As I was praying, I kept hearing, come to the waters and drink. Isaiah 55, wait and listen. Everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And I felt like there was a healing sound. There was a healing sound and I just kept hearing it. It was just so soothing. It was just like I was picking up on the flavor of what God was going to birth through this house. And this is what I feel like I want to put to the worshipers in this house, which is all of you, but maybe to the team and the people. This is what I heard the Lord say. There is an invitation that's been extended for deeper and deeper places. I'm talking personally. I'm talking about. It's like I actually saw a vision of you, Aaron. I saw this vision of you. And I just saw the Lord. I mean, take this personally, but I feel like I knew it was for the whole team. And I felt like it was this place where the Lord saying, come deeper. Come deeper because there's more. And it's almost like come from a place of like a longing and like a longing. It's funny because I felt it like a tug from the church, like wanting to go even deeper. And I'm not sure if you've been here many times, but this place is already pretty deep, right? You come in here and you're not going to put your little toe in. You're going to go for a good swim. But I felt so strongly this conviction of come deeper. And there's encounters waiting in the secret place for the worshippers of this house so that the rest here can come into a place that's even deeper. And I really believe that there's going to be greater levels of the miraculous breakout during worship. And you know, I think it was Leif Hetland last week was speaking about the fragrance of Mary and Jesus. As he's speaking, I just felt this strong sense that this house was going to be so much more of a healing house than it even is. It's already built on the foundations of that. We already see the fruit of that. But I feel like there's going to be a new fragrance that comes. The fragrance of Jesus is just going to just ooze out of this place and people are going to come running in because they know they can be healed and set free and made whole. And so worshipers, I just call you up right now. I call you up right now, wherever you are. Maybe you're not even a singer yet. Maybe you don't even play an instrument, but you have that heart. This is a call to you tonight to go deeper. There's a call to go deeper in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, I had a word for Joel, but I will share that with him one-on-one. So now I want to speak to the whole Glory City. Just before, this is my last point. I heard the words, Glory City, you are a health barometer to the world. And I'm speaking about the healthy bride tonight. And so it kind of goes well. And I'm prophesying it because I believe it's something that is, but it's something that there's a process right now, even in this house. There's something that God's doing. He's bringing greater health. It's almost like you're in a place, you're like, wow, things are good. And then God just opens up this whole other room. You're like, wow, like, you want more for me than that. It's always glory to glory. And I feel like in this house, God's speaking that as well. So I want to speak this over you. And take this personally for your home, for your business, whatever it is, however it applies to you, take this. God's saying that you're going to be a health barometer to the body of Christ. You'll reveal the heart of the Father to a church coming into maturity. There is an Esther anointing in the house of holiness, intimacy, health and purity, justice and authority. And I feel like in this season, there's going to be such a surge of people saying, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, for my house, for me, yes, yes. And I feel like there's going to be this whole take up my cross and follow in the sense of just like turning my back on the things that I've been doing that just aren't benefiting me in any way. There's going to be this thing that takes place as people come in here, they're going to be healed and set free and step into a place of God. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ in me, and stepping fully into the place that God can say, yeah, okay, cool. I'm using you a bit here, but now you're fully committed to step into this place, the deep oceans of my love, the deep oceans of this place where you're going to need me to be able to do what I've called you to do. And I feel like over this house right now, God's stirring and he's awakening even in this place right now. Just give a moment just before I segue, because I feel like there's people right now, there's you're feeling an awakening upon your heart in the area of calling. There's an awakening upon your heart right now in the area of you just know that God's calling you. You know that he's whispering to you. You know that he's been speaking to you about things he wants you to do. He's speaking to you about decisions you've got to make in certain areas. And I feel like there's a new creative, there's new strategies and ways to be able to do things. And I felt this for you as well, Bronwyn and Tim. I felt this on the way here in the car. I wasn't sure if God wanted me to release it just yet, but I felt so strongly. I heard creative strategies and ideas, because this is what I felt the Lord was saying, was that there was going to be, that there's a whole new realm opening up to you that you didn't understand in the area of ministry and even in the area of life. And what I saw was the two merging of gifts. And I feel like that there's things in Tim. And Tim, I want to pray. I don't know you at all. I met you tonight for the first time, but I feel like there's such a wealth of giftings and an anointing upon your life, and I see that you two coming into a fullness of that, and that's where there's been like this tension of understanding how you move together into this place. And I hear the Lord saying there's a whole new realm opening up to you, because there's this merging and almost like melding of these anointings and giftings. And so I just prophesy over you greater strategy, that God's going to wake you. I feel like new dreams are going to come upon you, fresh dreams. This is a season of coming into something fresh, says the Lord. Something fresh, says the Lord. Even you're feeling the fires of His love. In this last 2 weeks, you felt such a renewing and renewal. I feel that the fires of His love are coming over you fresh in this season, because you're stepping into something new, says the Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Just give God a bit of praise. Yeah, He's good. He's good. He's good. Well, I want to speak about the healthy bride. Who knows that we can't really launch rockets if we don't have our diagnostics all in check? And that's what the Lord spoke to me. He said, we need diagnostics. A diagnostic is a device or substance used for the analysis or detection of diseases or other medical conditions. And I feel like the Lord, this is not just for this house, this is for the body of Christ right now. God is doing such a healing and a pruning. There's just something that God's doing. Just put your hand up if you feel like, yeah, I'm feeling, this is a season where God's just been really doing heart surgery, yeah? You're feeling it? There's the warfare, there's the tension. You're like, sometimes you're warring between, you know, is this the enemy or is this God? Because I'm just feeling like, you know, thing is, He's good, so it's not Him. But the enemy likes to try to come in and chatter and lie to you in the middle of those seasons where God is removing things. Because it can be painful. It can be painful because you're like, you know that God is doing some, freeing you of old things and areas and things like that. But at the same time, it's like, this is still painful. It's still painful in the sense that we like to hold on to those old things, or they've become a lot of our foundations and infrastructure of our lives, or these old hurts and wounds. I know that for myself. I know it for myself, and God's used, like, in the last probably 3 years, especially stepping into something, it's like, wow, I'm so aware of the things that I used to like be normal for me. The things that I used to think were God even. God's just like, He removes these things. Like, oh, that's painful. He's like, yeah, oh, but I do recognize it's not you. So I'll allow you to get rid of that right now, you know? And so if we want to launch rockets, if we want to step into this place, not that there's a prerequisite, not that God's not, can't use you now. I'm just talking about where God wants to work on our foundations as a body of Christ so that we can hold the weight of what He wants to pour out. Because we've been talking about habitation, right? How many times have we seen a move of God come and then we can't sustain it? Why? Our foundations are cracked and they're faulty. We're not able to sustain what heaven's trying to pour out upon us. And so God's trying to make us a people that knows how to steward well. You know, it's not two months in that we start to go, this revival's me, everybody. I'm the man. You know, it's not like that. It's not like insecurities start to pop up. And in the glory, our insecurities do pop up. In the glory, we're very aware of what isn't God. That's just how it happens. And I feel like that in this season, we need to embrace what God's doing. He's drawing old things out of us and He's moving us into new. Leviticus 26:10 says that God clears out the barn to make room for the new. And I feel like this has been that season of our crossing over into something. This is a season where we've been moving from one place to another, that we've kind of have to just allow God to clear out some old stuff. It means we're not going to look like we have it all together. It means that we're not going to look like all our ducks are in a row, but it means that we're moving with Him and not in the opposite direction of Him. So that's the season we're in right now. We're in a season of God just really cleaning out the body of Christ, not in the way of judgment. It's like lovingly cleaning. It's His love. I remember years ago when Christy and I were about to get married. It was about 4 months to, it was 2006. I was in a bad way. I was in a pretty bad way, and I don't know. I just was unsatisfied and with my life at the not anything with being married. I felt really like I was still dealing with a lot of hurts from my childhood and I didn't know how to deal with them. And I felt like that God was still, you know, this harsh kind of like father who just wanted to judge me for them. So I was kind of like backing away from him. And I was working in this job and I was working night shifts, so I wouldn't see Christy at all. And I just felt so strongly God was trying to invite me into this encounter. I didn't want any bar of it. And I remember coming home one night, it was 2 a.m. and I walked in the front door and I felt the presence of God so strong, like, whoa, the whole house. I'm like, and we had two lounge rooms in this house I was living in, and it was the furthest lounge room down the back of the house. It was almost like, oh, I'm staying away from that. Like, that's scary. I mean, have you ever had these encounters with God where the fear of the Lord is like there? It was like that. And I went straight to my room and I ignored it for 2 weeks. I did a pretty good job, but my heart was trembling. My heart was just trembling. And after 2 weeks, I remember opening that front door and running down to that lounge room. And the power of God hit me. I was on my back for 3 hours as the Lord just began to strip me all this stuff. And it didn't come as judgment. It came as love. It came as love that just was like, it was just leaking into every crack and part of my heart that was just broken. And he was just removing things that he did not want to see me bring into my marriage. It was just amazing. And see, I'm talking about marriage tonight. I'm talking about how we as the bride, God's like, I want you to be a bride, but I don't want you to bring that in. Like, not because he's requiring you, but for your own benefit so that you can enjoy this life. How many times do we go through so much and God's like, oh, I never intended for you to live so broken. I've already paid the price. But we live in this place of this tug of war between the finished work of Jesus and resurrecting an old man that's dead, right? And so what we do is we start to allow our souls to be filled with all this stuff that he never intended for our souls to be filled with. And so I believe God's doing this massive healing in us right now. And I want to share from the book of Ruth. Oh, there's some weight on this. If you got your Bibles, turn to me to Ruth. If you're like me, and when the Lord said to me, go to Ruth, it took me like 5 minutes. It's not really my first choice of book. I'll start reading. I just want to read the parts of this story that are significant to what this revelation. I don't really want to teach tonight. I want to prophesy. I want to see you step into something tonight. So it says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died and she was left with the two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come in the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughter-in-laws prepared to return home from there. When her two daughters-in-law left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Now, this is what I want to highlight here. So you've got this family that are from Judah. Praise. They live in this place. I want to break down some of the names. This is what the Lord showed me. So you've got these people that are from Judah and they go and live in a land called Moab. And Moab actually means incest or sin. And I feel like this story is a picture of the body of Christ. This is the story of the Redeemer. We know this. If you've read this story, you understand what Boaz represents. He represents Jesus, as I get to that. But God started breaking this down to me, and because he was showing me that this is an area that the body of Christ is coming into wholeness from right now. So Naomi means my delight. Elimelech means God is my strength. But they're living in a place that they're not really born for. They're not meant to live there. Their sons, Mahlon, means infirmity and sickly, and their other son means failing and unsuccessful. Now it goes on to say that when they were leaving that place, Naomi says to Ruth, don't call me Naomi. Oh, hang on, further on, she said, no, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand is turned against me. So hear a heart right there. A heart's like, God's hand has turned against me. I've lost my sons. I've lost my husband. So she started to step into a place of deep despair, grief, disappointment, and that she started to question the goodness of God. She started to question whether God was even for her anymore. She says, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." And I heard the Lord say that that has been the cry of the bride. They've been saying, "God, are you really for me?" And I just been hearing his voice this year say back, "I am good," constantly. "I am good." And that is just the cry of his heart. It's healing. It is like a healing balm to the bride right now. "I am good. I am good." I want to break that down for you. She even said, "I'm too old to have another husband." And I looked up the word where she said, "I'm too old." And actually it means, "I'm beyond opportunity. I'm imperfect." So yet again, you're seeing another aspect of what she believed, that she was imperfect, that she was now faulty. She was used goods. And I want to speak to those two things right now in this moment as I share this story, because I believe that there's going to be some healing take place tonight. And so just going further into the story, I really don't want to get into this story. Go home and read the rest of it. But basically, Ruth, she's left without a husband, but she follows Naomi back to Judah, right? And it says that there was this guy called Boaz who was in charge of the fields. And this is what Naomi said to her: "Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor." She said, "Go wash, anoint, and go to the void place." Go to the place, the threshing floor. And I want to speak about the threshing floor a little bit. But this is what God's saying and through this picture of this story. So these people have come back to the land that they truly did belong, yet things still weren't working out for them. Naomi, she just really felt like a failure from God. Naomi represents the church. Not Naomi, sorry, Ruth represents the church, represents the body of Christ as well. And I felt like the Lord was just saying so strongly that this is a redemption moment. This is a season of redemption for people who've never truly known the power and redemption of Jesus. And see, many times we actually come into the Christian life never truly experiencing his love, never truly experiencing life transformation and change. We just kind of get through the door and we stand there and that's it. I feel like a part of this healing right now is that God is saying, "I want to know you intimately. I'm a husband that wants to know his wife, his bridegroom." It's like the cry of his heart. He's like, "You're in a marriage relationship with me, yet we don't even look eye to eye." I'm going to get to that in a minute. But this is what took place. Boaz took Ruth to be his wife. And he said, "Today your witnesses that I've bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I've also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today your witnesses." And this is the interesting thing that took place. So here's this person who represents Jesus, because Boaz's name means strong redeemer. He's the guy who represents Jesus coming in. He doesn't just say, "Okay, you're going to become my wife." He's like, "I'm going to buy your field as well. I'm going to buy your pastor's appointments. I'm going to buy everything that broke down in your past. I'm going to claim it all, because I'm not just interested in you. I'm interested in your past, because if I don't take your past as well, I have no jurisdictional right over to change and heal the areas that you're coming into this marriage and relationship to be healed from." See, his body and his blood, it wasn't just to cleanse our sins. It was also to heal us of the trauma it inflicted upon us walking through the season of the sin. He wants it all. He just wants it all. He's like, I don't just want this one bit. I want the whole thing. I'm willing to buy the whole field. I'm willing to buy the whole thing. And when I was reading this, something just broke in me, because I was like, man, like even in my own heart, I'm like, God, really? You even go all the way back and you're looking at those things that I did or those things that happened in my family life or whatever. You're willing to take it all? Yeah. I'm willing to take it all. I'm willing to do something even with that. I'm willing to you know, I can't change the result, but I can change how that affected you. I can change how that influenced your life in a negative way. I can bring healing and wholeness to those places that you're still walking the effects from. Yeah, you might be married to me now, but I'm actually interested in your history as well. And it says this, praise be to the Lord who this day has not left you without a guardian and redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain your youth in old age. The interesting thing was is that Ruth had a baby to Boaz, but it was a redemption to her that people in the town said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. I love that because it just shows that God was still interested in her. She lost so much, yet through what took place with Ruth, it brought restoration to her heart. The barren became fruitful again. I feel tonight there's a lot of people who felt barren. There's a lot of people who felt like used goods. There's a lot of people who felt like I've got so many imperfections going on. There's so many things from my history and my past I don't believe that God could take care of. The thing is, he already has taken care of it, but it's now time for maybe there's a season of letting go. There's a season of allowing him just to come into that place. And I want to speak about the threshing floor soon. Actually, because of time, I'll talk about it now. Hope you buy me lunch too, Dylan. Done? I'll hold you to that. You'll get a message from me after church. I love in the story of Hosea, yet again another picture of the church, of the bride. And here's a guy. Hosea was a guy who God said, go and marry a harlot. Go and marry a prostitute. I won't get into the story, but Gomer, his wife, that's what she did. And it represents the church that have just been in this place. See, I don't want to get into the whole area of, well, you know, she was with many other different lovers, but I want to think about it like this. How much sometimes do we entertain all the things going on, all the junk we got, and they become idols in our life that we focus and look and gaze on more than him? And I feel like sometimes even the stuff, the junk, the gators in our basement become things that we look at and that we are kind of like, they're almost like they're larger than him. It's like there's Jesus over here and we're looking at this mountain and it's all the weight and the things that we've walked through our whole lives. And we're like, I can't be free from that. Jesus is this little, my mountain's this big. And so the representation of this story is yet again, the bridegroom who comes in. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't even matter what you're doing. I'm coming in and I'm going to tell you how beautiful you are. And I love this scripture. I just want to speak this over you right now. Therefore, I'm going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and I'll speak tenderly to her. I'll give her back her vineyards and I'll make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she'll respond as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of Egypt. In that day, declares the Lord, you'll call me my husband. You'll no longer call me my master. I'll remove the names of the Baals from her lips. No longer will her names be invoked. The interesting thing about Baals is that the actual word Baals means husband and possessor. The Lord showed me a few months ago when I was going to preach at this other church. He said, Nate, he showed me this vision of these two altars. And after that, he showed me how it was kind of a prophetic parallel to the story of the altar of Baal and the prophets of Baal. But you've got these two altars, one that burns bright for Jesus and the other one that doesn't. The name Baal means husband and possessor. And the Lord in this season is so jealous for us to choose the right husband, not one that possesses us, but one that frees us and heals us. And so what he's saying this in here is I'll remove the names of Baals from her lips. He's saying, I want to remove every idol and every single thing that, you know, sometimes what you do is when you go through a lot of pain and traumas, you rehearse it. All you do is you go over and over and over. That thing's something in your way. It doesn't matter if you call it an idol or not. It's something in your way. It's something blocking you from stepping into the fullness of your destiny, and it needs to be removed. And so he says here, I'll remove the names of those things that are holding you back from her lips. No longer will their names be invoked. In that day, I'll make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the creatures that move along the ground, bow and sword and battle. I'll abolish from the land so that all may lie down in safety. And I prayed this over somebody recently who was going through a lot of torment in their night seasons. And that's been something Christy and I are praying over a lot and seeing so many testimonies. I pray this over them. Bow and sword and battle I will abolish from the land so that they may lie down in safety. And I just want, even if tonight you've been feeling that, I feel like the people here are going to be set free in the areas of dreams. We see a lot of that. Just Lord, thank you, Father, for the night seasons to be, Father, for the warfare that's been, people have been, I feel like there's been tormenting things coming against you in the night. Let them be stopped right now in Jesus' mighty name. You may lie down in safety. I'll betroth you to me forever, and I'll betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I'll betroth you in faithfulness, and you'll acknowledge the Lord. In that day, I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the skies and they'll respond to the earth. And the earth will respond to the grain and the new wine and the olive oil, and they'll respond to Jezreel. I'll plant her for myself in the land, and I'll show my love to the one I called, not to the, not my loved one. I'll say to those who called, not my, that's the part I shouldn't have read. So I'll move on from that. But God is calling you his bride tonight. He allures you out of that place. Interesting, he used the word allure. It's like, I'm drawing you out. He doesn't do it like I thought, where he judges you and he's like, oh, you got evil going on there. You got bad stuff going on there. He allures you. Just like he did for me that night. He allures you. He's like, hey, I'm here. I got some healing for you. I got some freedom for you. Do you want it? Up to you. But I'm going to hang around. I'll be here all day, working all shifts, ready for you to step into that place. And I feel tonight that's the invitation. And I want to speak about the threshing floor, because in the story of Ruth, she came down to the threshing floor. That's the place where she met him. That's the place where Naomi told her to go to wash, anoint, and present herself in the threshing floor. And when I heard this word, these words, threshing floor, the Lord said to me, this is the place of my meeting in this season. Because in Jeremiah 51:33, it says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. At the time it is stamped firm, yet in a little while, the time of harvest will come to her. So what is a threshing floor? The threshing floor was the place that where all the wheat would be gathered, and they'd be brought to the place where the actual wheat would be beaten off the stalks. So they would get these instruments. And in different countries, there's different things. I've seen in Africa, they use like these big clubs, and they beat these wheat stalks until basically there's a separation between the actual food and the stalks that you can't use, the chaff. And so that's what takes place there. And it's interesting, because I was reading in Matthew and it says something about Jesus and the threshing floor. John says, those who repent are baptized with water, but there is coming a man after me who is more powerful than I am. In fact, I'm not even worthy enough to pick up his sandals. He will submerge you into union with the Spirit of holiness and with a raging fire. He comes with a winnowing fork in his hand, and he comes to his threshing floor to sift what is worthless from what is pure. And he is ready to sweep out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his granary. But the straw he will burn up with a fire that can't be extinguished. And I said, Lord, what are you saying with this? And the Lord said to me, Jesus has come with a baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. And the threshing floor, is, we've seen the threshing floor as a place of judgment. We've seen it as a place where the fire of God's going to come and it's going to burn up all the stuff that's wrong in my life, and he's going to judge me. But Jesus hasn't come to judgment, so that can't be his mandate. So all that really says is that Jesus is talking about the threshing floor as a place where he keeps beating down. It's almost like his picture of his love. It's like love, blows and blows of his love. That's what the threshing floor is like. It's like blows and blows and blows of his love coming over you until it loosens the things in your life that keep coming in to rob your peace, the things that keep warring against your destiny. That is what the threshing floor is. And I looked it up. It's a place of meeting. It's a place where God comes, and he comes and he brings purification to you. It's a place where he meets you in a place where you're broken, and he comes. And this is the interesting thing. I broke down the different words and the meanings. And so it says that Jesus has a winnowing fork. So threshing is the beating. And I see that as the love of God just coming, like I said. But the winnowing fork, it says that Jesus carries, is actually, it's a tool that allows wind that blows away the chaff. It's what divides it. It's the breath of God. It's the breath of the Holy Ghost. So your time of healing is him with love. Layer after layer after layer coming over you, those things that might be different things from when you're a child. You're just feeling that love coming like wave after wave after wave after wave until you're feeling that something separating from you. You're like, yeah, I'm feeling, I'm like, I'm recognizing this now. And then the breath of the Holy Spirit comes in and begins to awaken you, begins to awaken your spirit. You're like, you feel like you're coming alive again because suddenly you have capacity to breathe. You have a capacity to feel and to enjoy the life that God has for you. But that's not the only thing that comes. The last thing is the fire, and the fire comes and it removes it for good. And why would John say that Jesus baptizes into the Holy Ghost in fire? Because that's exactly what he's come to do. He's come to empower you and so that you can live a life that is completely without all the junk that holds you back. He wants to breathe upon those places. He wants you to allow his love to come. The interesting thing about the threshing floor, it's a place of surrender. And so just practically speaking, if you're like, God, what do I need to do to be free? Sometimes it's just like, I'm recognizing that there's heart surgery going on. Don't fight it. Just get on your knees. Just surrender and say, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I've done every self-help thing out there to get rid of my anxiety and fear that I know is rooted from an 8-year-old going through this trauma. I don't know how to get free of it. The Lord's saying, allow me to come with my fire. Allow me to come and let my love come and start to loosen up those places. Massage those places in your heart that's just been so hard. And even right now, there's people here. I'm just feeling the atmosphere tonight. There's breakthrough coming to people, like seriously deep breakthrough coming to you. I just declare in the name of Jesus, there's some chains that have been on you your whole life that are getting broken off tonight. I'm just feeling, in that song, The Lion of the Tribe of Judah, that song, The Lion and the Lamb, I felt so strongly there's a lion of the tribe of Judah roaring tonight over injustices over your life. Those things that have held you for too long. Let it be done tonight. Let it be done in one hit tonight. In Jesus' name, let it be done tonight. You won't even have to go through the process of having to the slow process, 16-week program to healing and wholeness. Let it happen right now because Jesus says that today is the day of salvation. Today is your day. Today is your day. I declare it. I prophesy in Jesus' mighty name. So just allow your heart to be open right now, even as we're slipping into this ministry moment right now. If I can have the band up, that would be awesome with some of the team. I feel like tonight there's an invitation to come to the threshing floor. He's calling you out of insecurity tonight. He's calling you out of bondage. There are people here tonight, I felt so strongly tonight, that just feel so low of themselves. I was like, my heart was breaking for some people tonight in worship. I sensed it. I just sensed so strongly. I was just like, who are these people, God? I know what that's like. But there's people here who feel so low of themselves. Tonight that's being completely extinguished by the fiery, hot love of God. Let us be a healthy church. Let us be a healthy bride that aren't insecure. We don't need to compete with each other. There's enough room at the table. I feel like that's a word for Australia right there, right? That's for another day maybe. There's enough room at the table for everybody. We don't need to compete. Sons and daughters don't need to battle it out with each other. Oh, whoa. Come on, Jesus. But it's time the church is healthy because the world is crying out for it. The world is just saying, where are the sons and daughters? Where are the sons and daughters? We're in a time, more than ever before, that there's so much less gray. It's so black and white. And even the world's like, I can see the evil I'm in. I can, you know, and lately I've been really interceding for the Hollywood Christian I have in the entertainment industry. And there's just people in there that are so broken and going, I'm actually looking for something. I'm actually looking. I had a dream where I saw this certain singer looking and searching, but couldn't find it quite yet. And I'm not saying the body of Christ isn't at that place, because we are. but we're coming into a greater measure of health. Well, the world will go, wow, there's no denying that there's a God because these people walk in it. It says he's coming back for a pure and spotless bride. That doesn't mean a perfect bride. He's not looking for perfect people with perfect church attendance. He's saying, I want you to be pure and spotless, meaning he's jealous for you to be whole. That's all it is. He's like, I'm coming back for a bride who knows she's loved. I'm coming back for a bride that just isn't over there, all the way over in the field when I'm trying to whisper my how much I love her. I want her to be here. I want her to be right here in this place. No distance, no separation. I'm coming back for a bride whose heart burns for the same things my heart burns for. I'm coming back for a bride who just knows my secrets. I feel an invitation tonight is come. Come. There's an invitation tonight to come to this meeting place. Come to the threshing floor. That's what the Holy Spirit said.